Heart Than Talent Radio.
Jeffrey Combs, president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. Great to be on Facebook Live. Here we go, Tuesday. Beautiful day in May, Northern California. What a day it has been for me already. Production, results, results, and results. Grace, good to see you. Pietro, Petey, Lisa, good to see you. I'm not overwhelmed. I'm in the flow. And I took a drink of Starbucks and got whipped cream in my glasses. I have an awesome call today. Monica Hendricks just reached out to me and said, are you doing a Facebook Live? And I said, I haven't said, but the answer was absolutely. I want to thank all of you who have joined Ray Cataline and I. Ray is the admin for the new Facebook group, which is called Sobriety Consciousness. We're in process right now of taking that whole page to the next level. And I mean, I'm very, very inspired. Next Monday, I start shooting 9 videos for the content to really drive traffic to that page. Right now, we have about 400 members. Very, very soon, we'll have 4,000, 40,000, 400,000. So very, very inspired to really develop that out. And I want to thank Monica, who is writing a lot of content, and many of you who are writing content and contributing to that. Now, I have a couple of funny things to do today. For those of you who are brand new, my name is Jeffrey Combs. I've been the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars for 21 plus years, and I have been hosting either a live call on Tuesday at 7:30 or a live video or a live Facebook Live for over 21 plus years. This Saturday, I'll be in my favorite city. Here's what I want to do. It's fun. I'll be in St. Louis, Missouri. I'll be in St. Louis. Now, St. Louis has two. It is St. Louis has several hats. I bleed Cardinal red, and so in honor of Cardinal red, I know many of you are Yankee fans or Metropolitan fans or Met fans. Now, I saw the New York Yankees in 1961 with the great Mickey Mantle, and I saw the amazing Mets the year they won the World Series in 1969. They saw a doubleheader with Steve Carlton, Tom Seaver, and Jerry Kuzman. So St. Louis and Kansas City are two of my favorite cities. I grew up in Kansas City and spent a lot of time. Half of my life I lived in Missouri. The other half I lived in Iowa. I lived in Kansas City for a number of years. So I've gone back and forth between Kansas City and St. Louis many, many times. I also had the opportunity to spend quality time in one of those beautiful areas of the world, Montana, recently with Beth Henning. I'm going to be going back there and doing more events this year, at least 2 more events. So like I said, a lot of inspiring situations with Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. And my newest, like the most passionate I've ever been about building anything, not network marketing businesses, although I was very good at that. I loved building network marketing businesses. I have a real estate portfolio. I have a car collection and things like this. But what I'm really passionate about is assisting people understand what sobriety and recovery means. I have 31 years of back-to-back sobriety from drugs, alcohol, sex, and codependence. So those are the main drugs of choice. But the sobriety that I'm covering for you is not alcohol and drugs. The sobriety I'm going to be assisting you with for the rest of my career is the emotional state. And if you don't understand why you do what you do, then your body will run your brain and you will be and stay overwhelmed. Now, this last Saturday, I had the unequivocal privilege of spending quality time with some great speakers, Scott Burnett, Paula Penna. Paula is my voice coach. Paula really assists people get to really find their voice, get in touch with their voice. And I also had the opportunity to have Brittany Cara, who is off the charts when it comes to building social consciousness, activism, in situations like this. But uniquely, I had Kara DeChico Sandre and Carla Vilches. Now, these two women, their content was just like game-changing. And they're going to be speaking with me in New York on Saturday, May 18th. And I'm going to have them at many, many of my events. Brittany, Kara, and Carl and I plan on doing an East Coast event and a West Coast event either sometime this year or 2 of them next year. So a lot in the works to really assist people understand what recovery, sobriety, anxiety, fear, doubt, and consciousness. So the term recovery and sobriety for me really means consciousness. So consciousness is awareness. It means I know, I understand, I'm committed, I'm changing, I'm evolving, I'm in transformation. Now in that space, which are the objective is to separate feelings from events. I just coached a client of mine in Las Vegas who is a bartender. Her name is Mindy. She's a bartender. And she also has a couple of other businesses. And she was asking me, how do I let go? Well, letting go is a skill. It's your ability to separate your feelings from the events that shape them. Now, what does that actually mean? It means there's a breath cycle. It means there's other metaphors and exercises you can create. Now, I created, Ray, can you give me one sheet of toilet paper, just one sheet? I'm going to show you a little exercise that I created over the weekend that was so cool. And it's on a single piece of toilet paper. It's like one little sheet of toilet paper, not a roll. And it's like one I invented. And Ray's going to bring me a sheet, and I'm going to show you what that looks like. So what I did is I took a blue Sharpie and a single sheet of toilet paper. Now, what I did is there are certain people from my past, and there are certain events from my past that no matter how much I seduce myself into believing or how much I convince myself into believing that, oh, I've done that, I've addressed that, I've let go of that, I have 31 years of sobriety, I've done the 12 steps 1,200 times, or whatever that is. I mean, reality is, and you'll hear this from Carla and Kara, and they're going to be guests on my Facebook Live, and they're going to be at a lot of my events. You will understand that the body doesn't lie. That's why we muscle test, and both Carla Vilches and Kara DiCicco Sandre are two of the most exceptional muscle testers that I have ever seen. Like, I mean, they take muscle testing to the next level. Now, muscle testing is like this, but the way that they do it, they have two different styles, extremely unique, and they can really dig into how the body doesn't lie. Now, see this little piece of toilet paper? What I did is I wrote someone's name on this piece of toilet paper. Just like this, we went right here. I wrote someone's name, and it looked just like this. I wrote their name on this piece of toilet paper. And there's no big secrets in transformation and recovery. I mean, the skill set is to be able to let go. So what I did is I wrote someone's name, and I dropped it in a place where it would swirl in the water. It was amazing how the ink on that one piece of toilet paper, how it separated itself. And then one of the pieces, I did it with three people that I've held on to. Three people that either let violate me, or I have a story that they violated me, or they abandoned me, or they rejected me. Whatever the situation was, I got really clear, I got really honest with myself, and I said, who am I giving power to? Who and what am I holding on to? Who do I still feel resentment for? Who do I feel rejected and abandoned by? Who did I set myself up to be disappointed by? And in rigorous honesty, I actually did it with four sheets of toilet paper. And I put three different names on there, four different names on there. And over a period of Sunday and Monday, dropped them in that place where there's water, the toilet. And I watched it. I watched the ink separate. And then I flushed it. And the metaphor from it. Now, once again, this is the meaning I'm giving it. This doesn't mean you do this. But these are the situations I invent, I create, to let go. Letting go is being able to separate my feelings from the events that shape them. And as you're no longer the mind-body connection, the events, I mean, it was so liberating to be able to do something like that. And what was so cool was, like, every time I did someone's name, the ink was different. It separated. And Ray goes, dude, you better flush that. It's going to stain your bowl. And I'm like, I'm not concerned about the stained bowl. I'm more concerned about letting go. I mean, the bowl I'll deal with later, the letting go is what I require right now. Now, I am one of the world's greatest experts, self-proclaimed, PhD, public high school diploma, but over 60,000 hours of assisting clients to understand what it means to let go. I am a business coach, a success coach, but I also specialize in cause and effect, why we do what we do, separate your feelings from the events that shape them, and then move into a space of consciousness as you're in the process of letting go. So letting go is not a black and white game. It's not I'm done with it. Now, you can be done with it when you really be clear with it, but there's a possibility that your body still has some lingering effects of it. And the more you understand cause and effect, why you do what you do, then you'll be able to separate your feelings from the events. And in that let go process, you're letting go of the feelings that create emotions that drive an addiction. Now, one of the most common addictions that will affect those of you who are watching today would be being overwhelmed and being unorganized. And that will show up in many different situations and segments of your life and your businesses. This is why you don't quite get around to it. Now, I wrote a post this morning on Facebook. I also put it on Instagram about how many people aren't quite committed. They're almost committed. They're near commitment. They'd like to commit. I mean, there isn't a week go by that I don't coach someone that had 55 days of sobriety and then a holiday rolled around and the brain tricked them in to go, oh, I'll have one of those holiday drinks, like happens on certain different festive holidays. Oh, I'll have on St. Patrick's Day, I'll just have one Irish coffee. Well, it's not that much. It's only 1 ounce. But with an addict, though, it's one's too many, a thousand's not enough. That's typically what happens. Well, I'll just skip working out today, and then all of a sudden it's 2 months later, and you haven't made your exercise. So this is how an addict creates a situation to fulfill a feeling. Now, today's topic is called releasing the addiction code. Now, that's a term that I coined several years ago. It's like the millionaire code. I call it the addiction code. So there's like a code, like 37-3 right, 17 left once, 13 right once, and then all of a sudden, click, a set of tumblers line up. On any given day, on any given Sunday, they say that in the National Football League, on any given Saturday, David can beat Goliath. Well, your Goliath is the events that shape your feeling that keeps you emotionally addicted to a set of outcomes that keep you disappointed. That's your Goliath. Your David, your responsibility is to overcome that Goliath that you've created, that big story you've created about addiction. Addiction isn't big. Addiction is addiction. Addiction can be addressed one day at a time by awareness, understanding, knowing, and then committing. But if you're commitment phobic and not commitment conscious, then you're going to be behind the glass going, I know it. I know I can do that. I'll never forget I watched the story of Bill W. It was a made-for-TV movie, I believe, on Hallmark, right before I got sober. And it had James Garner played Bill W's friend, and Bill W was played by James Wood. And there was a segment in that movie where James Woods was standing behind this glass, and he goes, he could see everyone else walking on the sidewalk. And his story was, everyone else is having a great life, and I'm an addict in my own prison. And he eventually started the 12-step program known as Alcoholics Anonymous in 1937. And there's a book, there's also a book called The Story of Bill W. And I mean, that just rocked my world, because that was me. I stood behind a glass for years saying, God, if I could just get through this glass, if I could just get beyond what I can see, if I could just get beyond that which was physical, if I could just commit, but I wasn't sure if I could commit tomorrow. And I was so concerned about committing tomorrow that I couldn't commit today. Same situation happened to me in business. I'm clean and sober, but I became a noble struggler, and I would outproduce my problems. I became addicted to outproducing problems, meaning I'll create a problem to outproduce to create a neurochemical high. I eventually arrived at a place, well, why do I require a problem to outproduce? I don't require a problem, because that's how I was conditioned to behave. That's what a noble struggler does. A noble struggler always wants a little more. And if that is you, well, you can end the era today by having a better understanding of why you do what you do. I saw Denise Penberthy Pulse on there. So Denise, baby, this hat's for you. This is St. Louis. Now, I had aspirations to play Major League Baseball. That was my dream. My friend Gary Gaetti, I went to college with Gary. Gary played 19 years in the major leagues, hit a home run his very first major league at bat in Fenway Park. I mean, how cool is that? First major league at bat. At the time, he was the 300th major leaguer to ever play. Gary's from Centralia, Illinois. Actually played with the St. Louis Cardinals at the very end of his career. 4 gold gloves, 1 World Series, 4 all-star teams, 352 home runs in his career. That's what I wanted to do. But the difference between me and Gary wasn't that he was a lot more talented than me. The difference between me and Gary is he was a lot more committed than me. Because when he went to college specifically to play baseball. I went to college specifically to party. And that's how I said, I'm not really here to learn anything. I'm going to get a degree, but I'm not ever going to use it. And so I went there with the wrong mindset. Now, if I went back to college today, I would go there with the purpose of getting a 4.0 education and being the best student I could possibly be. But in today's world, I wouldn't go to college. I mean, I would go to University of Free Enterprise. And I entered into that real quickly right after college. But once again, I was not prepared to succeed. I was already a full-blown addict. I mean, I bounced around success here and there. I was in real estate. I had a cleaning business. I had other situations I did, catering, hosted parties. But I wasn't focused or clear enough. That didn't happen until I got clean and sober. Now, you don't have to be sober to start a business, but you have to be conscious to succeed in it. But if you continue to relapse emotionally in that business, you're in and out, you're not certain, you buy a ticket to an event, and then you doubt, well, should I go? I'm not sure if I should go. Or you buy a set of leads and you never get around to calling them because of the anxiety you have. Or you have this business and this business and this business, and it keeps you in an overwhelmed state called doubt. And if you live in that doubt, it's going to be very challenging for you to ever monetize your brilliance. And your brilliance is your intuition, your intuitive sense, that inner knowing. That is your creativity, your innovation. And even though you have it, if you're not accessing it, then you're just going to be average. Now, if you don't really understand what the addiction code is a space in objectivity where you can sit back and look at why you do what you do. That's honesty. And you do this without being critical. I spent quite a bit of time with a young man. He was stuck and he couldn't understand why being critical wasn't an asset. He thought being critical was an asset because he'd been criticized so much by a parent. When I was able to assist him to really understand that you can be honest without being critical, that means you can objectively look at self, understand that you made a transgression, you made a mistake, you may require apologizing to someone, you may require forgiveness of yourself, but whatever that is, you're able to be in the power and the energy of that, not like this. Oh, I can't believe I did this again. Oh, I'm screwed up again. I F-U'd again. I did this again. And this is what many, many people do. My girl Carlotta Davis is saying spot on. Carlotta is a very good friend of mine and someone I dearly love spending quality time with. Hi, Amanda Holt. Maria, good to see you. Love it. Yasmin, good to see you. So the addiction code is like this: 37 right twice, 17 left once, 13 right once, click the tumblers. It's not a how do I. It's like, when is the pain great enough? For me, it's right now. I'm willing to change right now. I'm willing to change always. I'm willing to change every single minute, every single day, especially if it's going to be a benefit for me or someone of my influence. So when you embrace change, you're changing. When you embrace letting go, you're letting go. When you stand behind letting go, like, I'm not quite sure how to do this. I really don't know. If someone was just telling me the how-tos, here's the how-to. It's a longer breath cycle. It's called an abdominal breath. Call Paula Penna. Do a free session with her. Paula is one of the world's greatest experts. From my opinion, Paula is one of the world's greatest experts in abdominal breathing. Paula really understands abdominal breathing. She can really assist you. I can too. It's simple. It's you take a breath from down in your abdomen, your diaphragm, your groin, in your chakra, the root chakra. You take a breath, you bring it up, you release it, you let it go, and you let your head and your body fall forward. Your brain gives off a neurochemical response. It's like a sexual release. It's a dopamine release. It's a feel-good factor. You have about 8 to 15 seconds to be in the present. You do that several times a day. You monitor your word choices in your sentences. You begin to eliminate kinda, sorta. Guess is no longer an option. You don't say put guess mid-sentence in that sentence. You don't finish your sentences with I don't know, I don't know. Every time someone says I don't know at the end of a sentence, they think it's a period, I don't know. They finish the sentence by saying, I don't know. That means they don't know. It means they live in doubt. I mean, be aware. My game started to change in recovery in 1990 when I started to read a book called The Game of Life and How to Play It. Chapter 3 said, words do not return void. Chapter 3, the title was, words are law, or it said, the power of word. It's the name of the chapter. Florence Scovel Shinn. I read that chapter over and over and over. And the more I understood word, I began to change my words, my word structure, my sentence structure. I started to study NLP, the power of persuasion. I started to study sales books. I mean, I really became and stayed, became, be and stay. I became and stayed committed to not only the process of recovery, but the process of mastery. So I knew that I required to master my emotions while mastering a skill set. So that became the cornerstone. That's the anchor. See that L? That's the anchor. That's the strongest portion of any building. The strongest portion of building is your breath, of what you're building is your breath cycle and your word choices. The way you breathe, because if you're in a short breath cycle, you're in fight or flight. If you're in a longer breath cycle, you're in an energetic state called consciousness. And that consciousness allows you to see over here. But when you're overwhelmed, you're only seeing like this. You're looking down because you want anyone to really see you because you are not good enough. But when you're like this, it's like I'm open. I'm open to receive. I'm open to collaborate. I'm open to share. I'm open to distribute. I'm open to distribute the benefits, the products, the services, the features of what I'm marketing, what I'm selling. And you want to overcome your anxiety about outcomes that haven't happened. You want to be able to get beyond this. I haven't, so I can't. I haven't experienced recovery, so I can't recover. I haven't succeeded, so I can't succeed. Well, it just relegates me to be staying in anxiety, fear, and doubt. See, who else do we have in the call? We have Chedza. Good to see you. Have a lot of really, really exceptional people watching in here today. So the events that create your addictions. Now, once again, the addictions I'm covering are not alcohol and drugs, not especially in this content. It's anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, overwhelmed feelings, grief, and apathy. Those are most of the emotions that will create your anxiety. It's anxiety that most people get affected, if you become addicted to. And those emotions you become addicted to then create a neurochemical response where the body runs the brain. And this is why you end up saying, I don't know why I did this. I don't know why I lost my composure. I don't know why I avoided it. I don't know why I skipped going to the gym today. I don't know why I didn't get up on time. I don't know. I don't know. See, that's what I don't know. That's the analytical egoic brain, the neocortex of the left brain that wants to make sense of it, that wants to wrap their brain around it. I can't figure this out. Well, it's not something you figure out. It's a situation that you let go of. You separate your feelings from the events. I grew up with anger. I mean, there's certain events that I recall from my past that I know where my anger stemmed from. I know I don't feel good enough. I remember how I got rejected. I understand that. I'm not like in the dark on it any longer. I am clear. It's that emotional clarity that allows you to be objective. It's that objectivity that allows you to understand the term metacognition. You can see it for what it is. And then once you can see it for what it is, then it's not personal. Now, a lot of people are addicted to being sensitive and defensive. They get their feelings hurt very easily. Oh, you don't want to buy from me? You're not interested? Okay, you just rejected me. You just said no. You're not interested, but you said no. Okay, I'm done for the day. I better go to the refrigerator, have a drink, cool off, cool out, go on the computer and spend something on a credit card, not a debit card. I'll use credit because that's like money. That's what I'll do. 28% interest. Yeah, that sounds good. I'll go buy myself a shiny object. That's exactly what I'll do, that I'll never even wear, never even use, because it's the high of the purchase that I'm addicted to. I get it. Oh, I don't want that thing. Just send it back. No, I'll just put it in the closet. I'll get around to sending it back later. Oh, the interest on it, I'll just pay the minimum payment. That's what most people do. They stay in an emotionally addicted, overwhelmed, intoxicated state, perpetuating the same set of feelings over and over, avoiding success. You tell yourself you're avoiding failure, but you're really, if you got honest, I'm avoiding success because I'm not sure if I can control the outcome. Well, it's not the outcome you control. It's letting go of control that you let go of. So you're not in control of being out of control. Now, once you understand that paradoxical situation, then you will begin the let go process, separating your feelings from the events. So if one of the people from my past who's still in my present occasionally shows up, and they start interrogating me, asking me questions that are not relevant to my recovery or sobriety, I can just look at him and go, he's predictable. I know what he's doing. He does what he's always done. I don't have to resent him. I can release him. I can detach from him. That becomes emotional sobriety. Oh, that's difficult. That's hard. You just relapsed. The minute you go into this counterforce and force duality that you live in, force requires a counterforce. Counterforce requires a force. Counterforce requires to feel bad. A force requires to be in control. So a controlling person requires someone that can feel bad so that the two of them can share a neurochemical high that keeps them emotionally addicted to a conflict. And then when you're in these type of relationships, you mate, date, have teammates like this, and you go, why is everyone doing this to me? I don't understand. Well, the reason you don't understand it is because you haven't entered a place called recovery or emotional sobriety. Now, when you move into this space, This is when the mind-body connection to the events no longer have the same relevance. Your body moves out of dis-ease and moves in to healing. And as you move into a state of change and you separate yourself from anxiety, fear, and doubt, now you move into a place called awareness, i.e. consciousness. And when you're conscious, you know. And when you know, you're able to read a situation for what it is, then you're not worried. Did I judge them? Did I overjudge them? Did I make a mistake? I hope I didn't say something wrong. Anytime you're in that state, you're not in any kind of recovery. You're in a full-fledged relapse. And when you're no longer that mind-body connection to the events, what does that mean? It means I get a sinus headache. That's not because the pollen's out there. It's not because it's the flu season. It's not because of what's going on in the environment. It's what's happening in my own emotional state. It's not externally, it's internally. As I begin to look at what I attract and why I do what I do, that's the separation. That's the awareness that I require. As I start to breathe into a situation, I don't want to be addicted to painkillers or to pharmaceutical medication, or I don't want something to dumb me down, or I don't require antibiotics to strip the flora and out of my gut. What I want to be is healthy. And the more you move into that state of consciousness, your body starts to move out of a state of dis-ease. And that inflammation that you live in starts to itself. That is recovery. And as you move into that state of recovery, then you're starting to crack the addiction code. The addiction code is nothing more than a series of words: aware, I know, I understand, I trust, I believe. Those five words are the key components. It's like left, right, left, right, left, right, five, click. I'm in recovery. And see, when you're in that state of recovery, then you're no longer the mind-body connection to those events that shape the feelings. And so as you live in recovery, it becomes a daily process. And it's not that difficult. Imagine how difficult it is to be overwhelmed every day. I mean, imagine how much energy it requires to be unorganized, undisciplined, overwhelmed, late, pulling things off at the last minute to recreate that neurochemically high that you're emotionally addicted to. So once again, on my way to beautiful St. Louis today, not today, Thursday, where on Thursday night, no, Friday night, I'll be dining at one of my best friend's cousin's restaurant, Charlie Gito's. That is on the St. Louis Hill. Next Saturday, I'll be, exceptional event, I'll be May 18th, I'll be in Tarrytown, New York with Kara DeChico Sandre and Carla Vilches. That is going to be a game changer. If you're anywhere in Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, I highly recommend you see this content that myself and these two exceptional women, I will commit to have both of them on this Facebook Live in the very near future. Jeffrey Combs, president and founder, Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated, Facebook Live, Tuesday. You have a great day.